What's up, Internet, and welcome to episode 82 of Radio Radar. I'm Hollander Cooper, and here with me is...
Tom Agrino.
Lucas Sullivan.
Lorenzo Valoria.
Anthony Snyder.
Schneider.
Nobody gets that.
No, nobody
watched that video.
No, they didn't.
No.
And the people who watched it didn't address it either.
I just realized that I can't hear any of you in my headphones.
I realize
we've been talking about this.
Well, you
got to
leave the headphones on because
10 minutes.
I'm gonna be playing sound effects and such that you will be able to hear.
Right,
rats.
And you have to respond to those cues.
Oh, rats.
And we're gonna
cues.
Dive right in.
Yeah, screwed up.
It's the top 7.
So the top 7 this week was actually the top 7 most monumentous elevator rides in video games, written by Andy Hardup. A fantastic top 7, but
it was good.
I don't think it would make for the greatest listening material on this
translate
podcast.
To audio form.
You have to be looking at elevators to really get it.
And unless you're in an elevator while listening to this podcast, it just won't make sense.
Yeah, but because we wanted to, as we said last week, focus on GDC this week, we took apart an article we put on the site last week, the most interesting things we learned at GDC 2014, and we made it an exclusive for the podcast top 7, starting with
oh snap, number 7.
Sony came up with the name for its VR headset after 1 week before unveiling it.
Morpheus.
They were stoned, and they said, "Let's watch The Matrix."
What?
And then they said, "Wait,
red,
a second.
Red pill
or blue?" Exactly.
I mean, in fairness, it's just a working title.
Yes, they.
It's the Project Natal.
They were probably calling it the VR
the
headset.
Is it like Hyrule Warriors?
Sounds like pre-natal.
Working title.
Prenatal.
Prenatal.
Prenatal. Prenatal.
But yeah.
Stop saying that.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's a little.
Oh, boy. What does that actually mean?
Prenatal?
In the womb?
Yeah.
So my wife is prenatal.
Before. Before.
She existed before Project Natal.
With her child.
With. Yes. But
I guess
yeah.
Natal is a. Is that the act of giving birth?
When I hear that word, it reminds me of a belly button.
Natal.
Post
navel. Yeah. You're thinking
it's because it's so close to navel.
Prenatal.
Navel just reminds me of the military. It's a chain. It's just a
stream of consciousness. Yeah.
Morpheus, though.
Prenatal care, also known as antenatal care, refers to regular medicine nursing for women during pregnancy. So prenatal means during pregnancy.
In the womb.
With child.
It's weird to have a prefix of
with
pre
child.
When the...
It's pre-post... pregnancy.
It's post-conception.
No, truth be told, that has absolutely nothing to do with
too.
Project Morpheus, which is actually...
Wait. Let's get this right first. It's post-conception, but pre-birth.
Right.
Which somehow equates to prenatal.
Prenatal.
It should just be natal.
It should just be natal.
Get rid of the suffixes.
I dub thy natal.
But then it would rub up against Natal, and they don't
right.
want that.
Right.
No.
So Project Morpheus, they said the reason they ended up going with that was because it's sort of... We're fucking scattered this week, folks.
It's been a weird one.
It's been a weird week. But yeah, it's based on Morpheus, the god of dreams. You're in a dreamlike state. You're looking
full
in VR.
Immersion. It's like it's real, but it's not.
Step into my portal.
Yeah.
Wake up.
A mirror vomit, which I didn't have the stomach to watch as a child.
Really?
So I walked past the VR headset booth for Sony during GDC, and it's just the funniest thing to watch people standing up and using these VR goggles.
Dirt face.
Yeah, they're just like, their mouths are open. You can't see their eyes, and they're just like...
it's so tempting to mess with people while they have a VR headset on.
Yeah. There was that blog that was like white dudes wearing Oculus or something.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
It was just half
like
ex-future employees. Yeah. Like Logan Decker, formerly of PC Gamer, Will Smith, formerly of Max PC, now of Tested. Uh-huh. He's actually like the banner man. You can look at almost any article you find about Oculus Rift, which we're going to talk about later, because there were a lot of Oculus Rift articles this week. All of them have friggin' Will Smith with just the like dumbfounded expression.
Purpose.
Oh yeah.
And to get back to the comment that you just said, I nearly struck Sophia.
We have a video of that, I think. You almost punched Sophia in the face because I was like telling people not to mess with you while you were using VR, but then Sophia walks over and I'm like, she's my boss, I really can't. And then she just poked you.
And I'm like, oh, you faggot!
Oh, God.
You had the look on your face.
Well, it's like, not only did I almost just hit a woman, I almost just struck my boss.
In the workplace.
Yeah. In the workplace.
And to me, the expression you had is like, if you've ever been playing with a dog and that you're like doing tug of war and then the dog tries to bite the thing but touches your hand by mistake and does that look where they're like, oh, like, I'm sorry. That's the expression you had, and it right. was wonderful. And honestly, we're going to be seeing more of that in the future.
But with moves.
Number six.
Nice transition.
Thanks.
Me hitting Sophia to number six.
Epic isn't working on any game in the Unreal universe
you
right now.
You screwed up.
Man. Sad.
You screwed up.
Did they have anybody actually designing games over there at that point?
Yeah, they said that. So here's, I went to the Epic panel where they pretty much were Tim Sweeney, who, if you ever have a chance to watch a video of Tim Sweeney talking, please take it because he has the charisma of a 14-year-old asking a cheerleader to prom. And he gave this speech about how Unreal 4 is going to be much more easy to use. It's better for indies because it's cheaper. We talked about that last week. But at the end, he's kind of somebody asked a question like, hey, you guys working on a new Unreal game? And usually when asked a question like that, the proper response is we have nothing to announce at this time. Mm-hmm. You were a news hound for a while. How many articles do you think you wrote where you said we reached out and we were told that they don't comment on speculation or rumors?
Many.
Yeah. It's half. Did you have like a
nobody ever actually commented on rumor and speculation.
I don't think anybody ever has.
I don't think I ever got a good response. In my 6+ years of writing news, I don't think I ever got a worthwhile response from a publisher when I asked them about anything.
Though I bet you if I actually had instances where I specifically forgot to ask them and then they'd be like, why didn't you reach out?
What the hell?
And then I'm like,
journalism,
there have been times where they're like, why didn't you reach out? I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Here's me reaching out. Oh, we can't speculate. Oh, we can't comment. But yeah, he instead of doing that, he just said, not only are they not working on Unreal Tournament, they're not working on any game in the Unreal franchise, so it's not Unreal, not Unreal Tournament, not anything else. They are working on Fortnite and other projects they're not talking about, but not Unreal.
Nothing. Wes from PC Gamer and I were talking about how they really need to port Unreal Championship 2 to PC because that'd be free money. That game was amazing.
Money.
Yeah.
Money. That sounds like something you'd want them to do. What was it on before?
Xbox.
Oh.
Original, not one.
Oh.
They had Raiden.
Number five.
Rogue Legacy's developers made a profit after only 1 hour.
1 hour.
Of the game being available online.
That must have felt pretty good.
Yeah. You'd think so, right? this is actually kind of a more common thing. I was talking to the developers of Dungeons of Dreadmore, and they kind of alluded to the same thing where they said that they made
like
the game in
59
their
minutes we made a profit.
Yeah. Well, they were like, not only, they were like, we expected the game to be profitable enough to pay for 2 or maybe 3 nice dinners for the 4 people that made the game, or 3 people that made the game. And then after the first day, they're like, oh, I guess we can quit our jobs now.
basically.
But yeah, so
did they say how much they spent making the game?
If you guys would keep talking for a minute, I could probably figure that out.
Rogue Legacy,
that would be an interesting thing.
Rogue Legacy is an amazing game. I'm really happy.
Did you finish it?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
God,
well,
no.
You're well on your way.
I mean, I spent probably 12 to 15 hours playing it.
Wow. Just scratching the surface.
Just scratching.
Almost.
Yeah. But those types of games are like right up my. It's a Dark Souls style game.
$14,878 it took, and 18 months to finish.
Rogue Legacy,
which is much less, than the developer's previous games.
That game cost $14,000 to make.
Yep.
Wow.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess they already had stuff.
Well, no,
I'll just use the computer that I have.
Are you saying that's cheap or expensive?
$14,000 is cheap as hell.
Well, I mean, I think that's usually, so when a developer says this is how much money we spent on it, they're not taking into account the hardware that they used to make it or
what they would have paid themselves.
They're basically taking into account, like I know people that are working on an indie game and they're like, our budget is all of our free time, which is zero money, but we need an animator to do the opening screen that's going to cost $2,000. That's budget. Mm. So their previous game was much cheaper and took less time, including Don't Shit Your Pants, Villainous, and I Have One Day.
It's a good game.
Oh, boy.
Don't shit your pants. They made it in 1 hour, and now that game is massive.
So over 14K in less than an hour.
Yikes.
That's pretty boss.
number four.
Number four, NPCs in Grand Theft Auto V have three distinct bagel-eating animations.
Bagel.
So can somebody explain why bagel. AAA gaming is in trouble? I can't put my finger on it.
Doesn't make sense to me.
So I was the one that attended this panel.
I hope so.
And wrote this up. That like, wasn't the crux of the point they were making.
But it was the most Lucas interesting. But
the panel was called Bagel-Eating Technology in Liberty
City. Grand Theft Auto V.
I mean, I do not think I looked at NPCs in Grand Theft Auto V like once.
I certainly cannot remember anyone eating a bagel.
I ran them over plenty of times. That's about it.
But where were they? Where were they eating bagels at?
Where's the bagel store?
It's near the fake Facebook area.
It seems like an unnecessary animation to put in because if you're not going to notice it, then what's
bagel.
The point?
Tom, by the way, what?
Bagel.
Bagel.
That's so loud.
Bagel.
Bagel.
It's crackling.
It's blowing it.
It's blowing it.
Bagel.
It's blowing it up.
Bagel.
Bagel.
There's a Y in there.
We can go at this all day, computer.
I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Bagel.
A bagel.
Anyways, this was really a piece of AI programming, a trick of the trade, as it were, because...
Did I say bag right?
Yes. You looked really worried for a second.
Bag is just like a...
You got to use that all the time. Yeah, like when you go to Trader Joe's and you're like, I brought my own bag.
I can avoid saying bagel.
Bomb juice.
Now I'm really self-conscious.
I mean, we're on
the
West Coast.
Bagel?
We've been over
this. What am I even saying right now? How do I normally say it? I can't even say it how I would normally say it.
Go play around with boggle.
Bagel.
Eat a bagel.
You live in the Bay.
Uh-huh. Bay.
Gull.
What kind of birds do you find in the Bay?
A gull.
Yeah.
A bagel.
There you go.
So what did I even say before that? I
bagel.
Thought that
bagel.
Bagel. Eagle.
You were doing, what do you put Eagle? In a, what you were this putting, you put a gull in a bag. Bagel.
Bagel.
We lost all of our
just
listeners.
Just go to number three.
Number three, please.
not number three. I just realized I didn't explain anything about that. You can read the article.
Try again. Bagel.
Okay.
Oh my God. So they had three.
Number four.
I'm getting to...
Number four.
Oh, NPCs of three distinct bagel-eating animations of Grand Theft Auto V. So what this really was you have a limited number of animations for NPCs in the game, and if people see the same animation playing out on two different NPCs, it is very immersion-breaking.
They're doubling up, as they say.
So
it just looks...
simultaneous. They were talking about...
Like, it looks timing. Like... you know, puppets as opposed to, oh, these are people in a world. But if you add a delay to those animations by even like a few hundred milliseconds, that can make a big enough difference of just not noticing that, oh, that's the exact same animation playing out on two different character models. But because they're not happening in sync, I don't notice that this is very limited. And it was funny because... this was given by a guy that works at Harmonix. And, like, the first Rock Band had this really bad where the whole crowd had, like, two different moves they could do. And you just see everyone, like, raise their fist at the same time. But then Rock Band 3, it's like, you don't even know. It looks like a crowd of people.
So, I mean, the big difference there is, like, when you're... looking at that crowd, it's very obvious when it's just like one dude doing the exact same motion. But when you're like, I don't know where to buy a bagel in this game.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary.
You've already regressed,
one
by the way.
Dude. What?
Bagel.
Fuck you guys. you just have one guy eating a piece of baked dough.
A roll?
Level down.
A type of baked dough in some shop.
Wait, how do you say dough?
Dough?
I'm messing with you.
Female deer.
Right? It's unnecessary. You never see it. And if you see it, you see it for an instant. That doesn't even register in the human mind.
Hey, some people need that kind of...
they need their type of baked dough in the morning.
Number three,
Nintendo admitted that Animal Crossing Wii wasn't that great.
Little balls.
So, basically, it came down to Nintendo had a panel about Animal Crossing, and they talked about the different versions, and City Folk, which most people liked, they admitted that, honestly, it was partially just the fact that they had gotten better at making handheld Animal Crossing games, and this one just didn't measure up to those other games.
Poo-poo.
Did it do anything differently that used the Wii...
It had
capability.
Had a microphone.
I remember seeing commercials for it with like people in crazy expensive houses playing Animal Crossing over the internet.
The more money you had in real life, the better you were at Animal Crossing.
Yeah, apparently.
That was pretty much it. But yeah.
Paid a
number
price.
Two.
Ready, go!
I've never played Guacamelee.
You should get it. Well, it's a Metroidvania, but it's amazing, and I highly recommend it.
But
I mean, I know.
You may not be able to get it if you went to Japan.
Because Guacamelee was deemed seizure-inducing in Japan.
Is that fair?
How many colors do you have to be flashing on
a lot?
See a seizure.
It happens very frequently in that game. So if you've played the game,
really?
Every time you get an upgrade or you're about to fight a boss, there's like a da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na screen. And I'm not being racist. That is the music.
Mm-hmm.
And it flashes a bunch of colors.
It's the game that's being racist.
And I remember noticing this when I was playing it, but not to the point where I'm like, I have to look away. But in Japan, they had that Pokemon episode that all the kids watched where it was like electrodes or whatever, and they were flashing like red, blue, white, red, blue, white,
right.
red, blue, white. And kids had a bunch of epileptic episodes.
Some 2-3 seizures.
That's crazy.
One or two. So they have a rule now where you can't flash certain colors at certain speeds for certain intervals. So the guys at Drinkbox Studio had to go in and change the rate at which colors flashed for Masked Fighters, which is the name of Guacamelee in Japan. And I thought that was pretty funny.
Masked Fighters?
Masked Warriors, maybe?
Interesting.
Keiji Inafune's art designs weren't the most popular for Mighty No. 9. So Henry's the one who went to this panel. He is currently home, so he can't speak to this one. But he described it to me as such that Inafune is obviously, he's Mega Man. Everybody looks to him for all these things. And he did art character designs, but with the Kickstarter, they let people vote on some things.
I voted on one of those things.
Yeah. But despite the fact that everyone's like, oh man, you're Mr. Mega Man, you're Mr. Mighty No. 9, his designs never win. And apparently this goes back to some Mega Man things where like his designs would be put up against other people in the company and nobody would choose his art design.
So he sucks at character design.
He is garbage.
He's garbage at it.
That's what Henry Gilbert's words, not ours. Mm. Inafune sucks.
I mean, have you seen Yaiba?
Yaiba.
Take a suck.
Thank you for giving me one last excuse to play that sound.
You're welcome.
So that's it for the top 7 most interesting things we learned at GDC 2014. If you liked that list, good news. There are like 43 more of them on the website, mm-hmm. each more interesting
quotes.
Than the last.
Really? You ordered them?
No.
But if you say that, you may as well put a number next to them.
Why not, right?
They don't. It's an unquantifiable thing.
They have no idea what we're talking about.
Literally have no idea whether this thing is more or less interesting than that thing.
Subjective.
That's science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we use sometimes. Science, certainly.
Yeah.
But they can't.
No.
They aren't privy to our science.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about some of the coolest things we saw at GDC mm-hmm. in terms of actual games, mm-hmm. and we're going to discuss a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to Radio Radar, episode 82. Let's jump into the biggest video game specific story of the week with the Oculus Rift company being purchased by Facebook for $2 billion. Just half of how much Star Wars and all of Lucas sold for to Disney. By the way, why didn't Disney buy it?
Well, first, like, it's like weird to me that that Lucasfilm only sold for $4 billion in this day and age.
It's strange, yeah. right?
Now that I'm thinking about it, having seen like the WhatsApp stuff and Oculus,
what did WhatsApp sell for?
Like $12 billion.
Hold
24
on.
Billion.
Wow.
I think it's $12 billion.
That's a chisel of
that dogs. Makes this empire.
It's a super
way better than this other.
I mean, I think Candy Crush's IPO is like $6 billion or something.
They're kidding. They're
fucking
themselves.
Obscene.
Kidding.
How the fuck did WhatsApp sell for $19 billion?
$19 billion.
Hold on, let me double check and make sure this is
know what WhatsApp with that. Is.
WhatsApp is something that lets you do like text messages through the internet.
It's Facebook messaging. Yeah. And Facebook spent $19 billion on it so they could just have those people to sell ads
to. With a monopoly.
Wow. Giggity.
Sounds worth it.
Yeah. $19 billion.
$4 billion. Oh, I guess the reason apparently is based on the fact that like it probably wouldn't have gone the same price to anyone. It's more that Lucas just gave the money to charity.
I did,
and I think it was more like he wanted to make sure it had a place that was going to not fuck it up too bad.
Mm-hmm. I did.
I mean, it's kind of funny thinking like, hey, I need you guys. We got something to preserve over here. Don't fuck it up, Disney.
Yeah.
Whereas,
yes,
he just
yeah. But anyway,
as if he wasn't fucking it up.
But anyway,
that's kind of where I was going.
Facebook,
I got you.
Facebook bought by Oculus, as predicted by Reddit 1 month ago.
Oh,
did they?
Wow.
Somebody went into the building. Somebody works in the same building that Oculus is in, and they saw Zuckerberg like sheepishly getting off on the Oculus Rift floor. So there was a Reddit thread about
getting
it.
Off sheepishly, getting off.
Yes,
on the like, Oculus
whack
the
Rift.
It was whacking.
Mr. Zuckerberg, what are you doing?
I mean, there wasn't an actual sheep involved. It was virtual
right,
reality.
Right.
But yeah. Also, I may have editorially added sheepishly in because I thought that would make for a more funny visual image. But anyway,
sheepishly,
$2 billion.
Yeah. I mean,
to Billy G's.
So a lot of people are like, mistakes have been made, but this is actually, I feel, pretty exciting because now Oculus Rift has a shit ton of money that can be poured into it.
Yep.
And that is exactly what needs to happen for this admittedly super amazing, game changing, awesome, the future technology to actually realize its potential.
Yeah.
You need them funds.
Yeah. If it was just Kickstarter, we would never have this. Now that it's Facebook, you're totally going to have this.
It's realistic.
Realistic.
Yeah. So you wrote an article about this because the initial reaction from the internet was
crying.
Was people are demanding their money, their Kickstarter money back.
Yeah,
for...
I mean, I left a response in the article of like, if you kickstart something and you get what you paid for, do not expect anything else.
Don't bitch.
Because you're not a part of the company. You're not an investor or anything like that. You just bought something before it existed.
Right. So,
but anyways.
Yeah.
Facebook's like there's no way from what I can see right now that Facebook could like ruin the Oculus Rift. They were saying that they wanted to use it for other applications besides gaming, so like in the classroom, doctors in training, or like the next level of pay-per-view so that you're actually there.
Mm-hmm. Imagine enjoying a courtside seat at a game, studying in a classroom of students and teachers all over the world, or consulting with a doctor face-to-face just by putting on goggles in your home.
That's actual quote from Mark Zuckerberg. That's him saying it verbatim.
He's a robot.
That's beautiful.
But gaming is still coming first, and they made it clear that they're kind of like Facebook is letting Oculus VR do its own thing. They're still independent. All they're really doing is just injecting money into the process, which is a necessity because to mass produce these and to make sure the technology is on point, that's going to take a lot of dinero. So this is not a bad thing by any means.
A lot of people think that games are going to take a backseat, but he does, and I'm not just playing this because I want to hit the button again. Go into that specifically.
We're going to focus on helping Oculus build out their product and develop partnerships to support more games.
I fixed the crackling, by the way. But yeah, so he specifically says, like, games are coming first. Like you said, like, what they're doing is getting Oculus in the room with more people.
Yeah.
It's basically what it comes down to. But the internet's reaction has been fucking chaos, including Notch just saying he thinks Facebook is gross, so he's no longer making.
That was weird. It's like,
and he clarified.
You don't have to tweet about it.
He clarified later that his excuse was like, "Well,
I was drunk
I wanted no." It was like, "I want a game company." He's like, "I don't want a company that is not going to be their priority." Sort of. He wanted it to be a gaming thing first, and still seems like a knee jerk reaction.
Yeah, to me, this is kind of like Tencent buying Epic Games. Like, Tencent is not, quote-unquote, a game company, but their network is getting into games, and they have a huge pocketbook to support. I mean, obviously, Epic is not making games at this point, as we kind of went over earlier.
Well, they also bought Riot, didn't they?
Yeah, they have Riot as well. So it's kind of like one of the panels that I went to was super interesting because it was kind of like putting forth Tencent as the publisher of the future. And the way the guy was kind of mounting this argument was Tencent was like aggregating a lot of the different aspects that make publishers successful, or at least that can make a product successful. So like creating the content and then kind of creating having a social network that can interact with that content, and then having like a way to sell apps or whatever. Just all of these various kind of things that are in the online commerce sphere is being aggregated at Tencent. And Facebook is kind of the next, I don't know, like we're going to soon, I feel like in the next 5 years, look at Facebook as the next big game publisher.
Potentially, especially when people look at like companies like Ubisoft. They're inventing these things like Uplay that are like, well, what if we kind of tie in some social features to our games? Yeah. And Facebook's just doing it in reverse order,
right?
Which does, like, for all we know, we don't, I mean, MySpace exploded and then died in like 3 years. For all we know, in 5 years, Facebook may just be the thing we use to it may be like Xbox Live. It may be the thing we use to connect to things. Boy.
And the other nice thing about Facebook owning Oculus is it's probably likely that everything that is made for Oculus will be free.
Yeah, a lot of it. And I genuinely don't understand. Like, I'm reading the comments on the initial post about it on Facebook from Zuckerberg, and people are like, does this mean shitty Facebook games are going to be all we can play on the Oculus Rift? And it's like, what would make you think? So my initial reaction is just like I understand that there are people that don't like Facebook. Most of the people who don't like Facebook seem to be active Facebook users anyway. And it seems like the main concern people have, it's like, I don't think Facebook doesn't really, as far as I can remember, have a history of fucking up things. Like, if EA bought Oculus, I like EA personally, but I could understand the hesitance because it's like EA bought Westwood, fucked it up, and shut it down. And they did that with like a few companies in a row. They had some weird history with other things. So I could be like, you know what? X company has a history of buying something you like and fucking it up. Facebook, the only reason people get angry at Facebook is privacy issues, which, okay, that's fair. But the cameras aren't going to be looking into your apartment and scanning shit, so that's whatever.
They look at your
eyes. They look at your eyes. Not even. There aren't cameras, but there's that. There's that, and then people are upset because they think, like, oh, Facebook, they redesigned it, and I don't like it as much. It's like, where is this? Like, you may not like Facebook games, but that's actually not Facebook's doing. That's other people making games for their thing because it was the best that could work in a browser. So for me, I just don't understand the hesitance of people acting like, well, no longer interested in virtual reality because one of the biggest companies in the world owns it, even though they don't have a history of screwing up technology like this or any history in technology like this.
And I feel like this is a technology that pretty much only gamers were paying attention to now before, and now that it's in the mainstream attention radius, not the word I'm looking for, like, people are
zeitgeist
saying like, oh, I don't want that. I'm not interested in that anymore.
Yeah, it feels like the people most upset are people, like a lot of the people I'm talking to are people that weren't interested in the Oculus Rift to begin with.
Right.
It's just an excuse to complain.
Yeah.
Blind people.
Yeah. But despite some people being let down by that story.
Only blind people would not be interested in the Oculus Rift.
Yay.
The other big news story from this week is the most exciting, pleasant thing that's ever happened. Tom, can you explain the...
I know what you're talking about here. All right, so where do you even want to start? There's a guy. His name is Lilin Yi. In 2006 to 8, somewhere in there. I don't remember where. He introduced a bill in California that later went on to become a Supreme Court case. It was the violent video game legislation. Basically, it would have created a situation in which it was impossible to sell a mature rated game. That shit got blown up by the Supreme Court.
2011, I believe, is when it got
blown
up.
Is when the case actually was blun up. So, you know, Lilin Yi, he goes on. You know, his efforts didn't end there. He's been a big proponent of gun control, a big proponent of minority rights.
I actually have a quote I'm going to play from him, and hopefully it works.
Okay.
A comment. He said that this bill was, in fact, narrowly tailored, and that there was, in fact, a compelling state interest. And so I would fall on Justice Breyer's decision, where, in fact, what we're saying is that we ought to be protecting our children. And I think it was in Justice Alito's opinion that says that, you know, the industries have already admitted that we've got to do something to protect our children. because they have that voluntary rate.
So in other words, protecting our children, this is after the case has been shot down. Protecting our children is a major...
Doing it for
major,
the kids.
He has children in mind.
Uh-huh. So over the last week or so, he was arrested by the FBI. As it would turn out, good guy Leland Yi was working with the Hong Kong Mafia to fill San Francisco's Chinatown with, like, guns.
A Lord of Wars, if you will.
A little bit of a Lord of Wars.
I thought it was the Russian Mafia.
Was it the Russian
Mafia? It was multiple mafias.
He was mafia.
I know there mafioso, was some like, terrorist organizations involved.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he is anti-gun.
He is essentially
selling guns.
He's selling, essentially selling guns, a cliched character in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, so he's anti-guns, anti-video games. Another big thing of his is going after suing companies that he thinks are being discriminatory against Asians, and his biggest and now he is in jail for selling because he thinks that people were being like racist against the Asians in Chinatown and stereotyping them as gangsters. He has sold guns
or has
facilitated
the sale
of guns
quid pro quo
specifically to Asian gangs
in China.
He's officially making them gangsters.
He's propagating.
He never accepted money, like just somebody giving him money.
Yeah, we know.
But he did accept
campaign
donations. Big campaign donations.
I love his goal. Like his like one of the quotes they got during the sting or whatever was like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna fucking flee to Philippines and become a free agent. I'm just gonna work like you
to the Philippines."
To the Philippines. I think it was the Philippines.
Yeah,
I think it was
the Philippines.
It's like, what's going on with the Philippines?
They like guns there, too.
Yeah, oh, boy.
They're fans. So anyway, in terms of just like delicious hypocrisy, it doesn't get better than Leland Yi.
And he's referred to by gangsters in the area as Uncle Leland.
Uncle Leland.
Uncle Leland, can I get a piece?
I need a piece.
Can I get my Uzi today?
Come back later.
I got my bag.
The other person that was arrested was
Shrimp Boy.
Yeah, it's Raymond Chow. He was originally named Shrimp Boy, and he spent years in prison for gun trafficking. He was apparently still
trafficking
guns, except for Leland Yi.
Yeah.
Hates whoever gave him that nickname so much.
I mean, I feel like the lesson we've learned here, and we've seen this lesson before, is anytime anyone vehemently argues argues against something, that person is completely complicit in that thing.
They doth complain too much.
Right. I mean, this is exactly like one of these like Bible thumping preachers being like a closeted homosexual.
And it's not. And the thing is, it's never just a closeted homosexual. It's like, I am against gay marriage, and you are going to catch me doing coke off a male stripper's ass.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
It's always one step further.
Wish you had a sound effect for that.
Yeah.
Also, I do have this is my favorite quote from Leland Yi. He said, "Do I think we can make some money? I think we could make some money. Do I think we can get the goods? I think we can get the goods.
I think we can get them
it's
goods."
It's like he was rehearsing it to be a fucking villain in a movie.
Yeah. I mean, that's
this is so good.
It's a campaign speech.
It is.
Can I make it happen? Yes, I can.
Will I make it happen?
Yes, I will.
Do you think he got his speechwriter? Was Shrimp Boy his speechwriter?
It's possible.
Wow.
I'm certainly confident in his ability to acquire weapons from the Taliban.
Ugh.
Maybe.
What a thug.
Also,
a
he thug. Was in a. He, this is an older thing, but in a.
I really hope he's trafficking heroin as well.
That'd be one, and I hope that he is secretly funding Grand Theft Auto games just just for the trifecta.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So good. That's. Yeah.
I mean, dancing on graves is occasionally fun, but this particular grave is just like let's throw like a big. This is the prom.
A grave party. A prom. Yeah,
this is the prom.
And the thing that makes it even more enjoyable is all of this allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. Everything that I just said, put the word allegedly in front of every single
that
word.
That said, it was part of a 5-year sting operation, including
allegedly.
Most of the all of the quotes. No, the 5-year sting operation.
Oh, no, that actually happened. You're right.
And most of the things that we have read that he has said were said to undercover police officers.
Right.
Holy shit. Busted.
So good.
Know. There's really nothing.
Nothing
to
else.
Learn about this. There's no moral here. There's just
so what
fun,
we can extrapolate from this is that Tom, you are a Kingdom Hearts fan to the core, and you have cosplayed as Sora at Disneyland.
Can't say no. By my logic,
so good.
It's rough.
So let's just let this one sit for a second. It's good, and move on to previews.
Good.
We all saw cool stuff at GDC last week, so I'm asking everyone to talk about the coolest thing they saw. I'll start. For me, it was Hyper Light Drifter, which, Lucas, you were supposed to see but didn't, and you keep getting upset whenever I talk about it.
They shut me down. Yeah. They blew me off.
Yeah, but it kind of looks like an old-school Zelda, sort of, in terms of gameplay. Like, it's you're running around, hack and slash. But art style, it looks...
Immaculate,
but like an Atari game immaculate, or like an NES game. It's super pixelated. It reminds me a lot Sorcery.
Yeah.
In that it's like, it's not
artsy.
Pixels. It's not pixels trying to look like a character. It's somebody being like, let's stylize something with pixels.
With amazing animations,
crazy lighting effects. Gameplay was super fun and a lot of crazy weapons.
Was it like a combo-centric game? Or?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And very difficult. Like, there was no... It's almost like a crazy stylized Bastion in terms of gameplay, I guess, is the easiest way to describe it.
Is there any puzzle elements like a Zelda game?
Probably, but in my experience, I was only blowing stuff up with like a shotgun.
I saw the trailer.
There's
light ones.
It looks really nice, and that was my personal favorite. Tom, I know you were all about zombies, monsters, and robots.
Right, aka Call of Duty Zombies.
Yeah.
I mean, so the thing about this game is that it is a blatant ripoff of Call of Duty Zombies, which
is admittedly
a very good game. Kind of the wrinkle that they've applied to it is... there's also
monsters
and there's also robots. That's their wrinkle. Presumably aliens and an expansion. We'll see what happens. But they're kind of positioning it so that you're kind of going through this exact same, like, kill some zombies, board up the windows, and then get some points so that you can lock additional rooms and wherever you're at and unlock weapons, etc. But they're also kind of incorporating more of a campaign element to it, where at the end of the campaign are like giant boss fights or something like that.
That sounds cool.
I'm so down with that.
Yeah,
because I love cool monster design in games. That's why I wanted to like The Secret World, but alas,
not.
And the screenshots that were in the preview you wrote were really cool looking to me.
Do you use like standard weapons like shotguns and machine guns, or is it like kind of mystical?
I'm pretty sure it was pretty standard weapons.
But then there was some guy with like a lightning gun or maybe?
Yeah, there might have been. The weapons
I
played with.
2014, lightning gun is basically a standard. Yeah.
I was using a machine gun, it seemed like, other people around me. I had a pistol. I actually had, at one point, like the melee weapon was like this weird
kukri.
Knife? Sword?
Lightsaber is what I was going to go with. But so there is a little bit of magical elements to it, but it's mostly just AKs. Things that you could probably buy from Leland Yee. Probably.
You think he sells lightsabers?
Probably.
Possibly.
And
he's
got the goods,
shit,
I heard.
Uncle Leland. I should have referred to him exclusively as Uncle Leland in the article. That would have been such
that's
a
what you called him
point
in your dealings with him.
Yeah.
Anthony,
we still haven't figured out the name of the game you saw, but can you tell us about
it? I think it was ZVR Apocalypse.
Really?
Basically, they used Oculus, it was the Rift, and then in combination, they used the STEM system. You know,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And basically, you were just shooting zombies as they were coming at you. But something like that. Yeah. But the weird thing was at the end, like, you know, when you die, the thing, like, you know, it's like it says these are your brains getting eaten, and then it like was shaking as they're eating your brains, which was a little creepy. Yeah. So
that is bizarre.
So I mean, the riff wasn't shaking, but it's just kind of like your vision is kind of like. Because they're eating, you know, they're taking a bite out of you, and I'm just like, whoa, okay.
You felt
it was different.
Your brains were tingling.
It was pretty different.
And I know you saw, Lorenzo, something that's kind of VR-y.
Well, I didn't get to experience this firsthand, but the omnidirectional treadmill thing was there, and I just walked by it, and I was watching a guy play, and he was the representative for the company, and I did see another person who wasn't after, but... The way the guy was playing it was totally awesome. It looked like he was on a holodeck, like, by himself. So you have this treadmill-ish thing. It's kind of like this divoted...
Well, it's not really a treadmill, right? Because it doesn't move.
It's like a giant mouse
air
pad.
Hockey table. Yeah, it's like an air hockey table, and you have these special shoes with, like, plastic pads on the bottom. And they slide around... So when you take steps, you're not actually running off treadmill or anything. And then there's also this like ring around you that
stops
like,
you from
keeps
running
you
away.
From falling
stops
and running
you from
everywhere,
running away and falling on your face. And that is also got sensors, so it could tell when you're turning. And you wear the Oculus Rift with your earphones and stuff, so you're like totally immersed in this thing. And the game was just like a basic shooter where you're running around with an assault rifle and you shoot zombies and stuff. But like when he ran, the character ran. When he aimed, like at different parts of the screen, you could see he's aiming in the game. And you know, he's just like looking up and down, and that's all just all in there. And it was like the closest thing I've seen to a holodeck in a
it's so crazy to see, like, they were sprinting in place pretty much.
Yeah,
they're wearing special
running
shoes.
Yeah, the special shoes just, like, slide around. And then when the guy that wasn't part of the company was in there, it was basically the same thing. He just wasn't as comfortable looking a fool in front of a dozen people. So, you know, he was just kind of walking around, looking around, derpy face.
How probable is it that you'd eat shit using this thing?
Well, that ring that's around you, it seems pretty sturdy. It was like a solid piece of metal.
Was it like holstered above the person? Is that
the rift was, yeah. It's like a mouse anchor almost to hold the cord from the rift.
Yeah.
Oh. Right. So it's really involved. The whole thing is just crazy. And I have no idea how anyone would ever fit this in their living room or anything like that. But it was really neat.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. It was a look at the future, I think. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
And Lucas, you saw the same build that I saw. I talked about earlier of Evolve.
Let's talk Evolve.
Let's talk Evolve a little bit.
I really enjoyed playing the game. I played three matches as the Hunters, which is the four humans, and one is the monster. And it's really fun, but I feel like it's going to run into the problem that Natural Selection 2 had on Steam, where it's got a lot of stuff going on. And teaching a new player all those things at once is going to be insanely difficult.
So I think that if the game has some kind of strong tutorial by way of like a campaign kind of thing, like I'd almost be okay with this having a light campaign like Titanfall had.
Just like one level, one mission per map or something.
Yeah, 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 something like that. Because that would kind of do it for me, because I agree. But I definitely feel like I played it for 2 hours, and after like 45 minutes, I feel like I was fine to like jump in and do everything I needed to do.
Yeah, I really loved both sides of the fight, because when you're a hunter and the monster jumps at you, it's like an organic jump scare, because you are really backing up afraid of this humongous thing that's bearing down on
right.
you. And when you're the monster, it's really awesome to be the one pouncing on people and just bashing faces in.
So what exactly makes it so complicated? Because if I'm thinking Left 4 Dead, there's like so, versus mode is 4-on-4 and the zombies all have special abilities, and it's like you have to learn the zombie stuff and the map. And
it's like if Left 4 Dead had all the survivors had different abilities that had to be used at the correct time, and the monster has three different stages of evolution, mm-hmm. which all have different power levels, I guess.
I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal, because for me, it's like I can't imagine it. It's not nearly as complicated in terms of as like Monaco, in terms of four people
oh
working together. And while we streamed that and ate shit for 2 hours, accomplishing nothing. It was still fun, and this game is still like it is like it's almost like if you were playing Team Fortress and you each got assigned a class. That's
yeah.
sort of the. There's a more strategy involved, but I don't think it's going to be that big of a hurdle.
Yeah, I certainly hope not, because I would like to see this game do well.
Yeah,
I liked Left 4 Dead, but didn't get into it as much as I thought. But
I didn't love versus mode in Left 4 Dead as much as other people. I feel
yeah, since the it's just like one huge open map that you land into instead of a linear progression. So there's more room for variation, I feel like, in the matches.
Should be cool. And
And one note, I was there with Henry and Sophia, and Henry got to play as Hank,
the tank,
the mage. The healer.
Mage?
The healer. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
The healer.
I thought the only healer that I saw when I played it was a woman.
You know what? Right. There's a medic and then like an engineer.
It was a support or something. Yeah. With like a big beard. Yeah. He's like a grappling gun or like an anchor gun thing. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's Hank. Henry. There you go. There you have it.
Thank you. That's it for previews, but we're going to jump right into our only review of the week, Diablo 3 Ross, Reaper of Souls.
Reaper of Souls. Great game.
Yes.
Literally, because I'll say the score. We gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah. 8 is great.
Yeah. And as an expansion, if you listed off everything it adds on a piece of paper, it wouldn't seem like a lot. But in conjunction with the patch 2.01 that they implemented into Diablo 3 right before the expansion, it's like an entirely new game and an amazing one at that.
Oh, yeah.
So they changed the way loot works. They rebalanced all the abilities. There's little conveniences like...
Little conveniences.
Yeah, like transmog. You think an item looks dumb? Well, just make it look like an item you think looks cool.
Oh,
or even like I don't like that at all.
I'm kind of on your side with this. It's like you found a dumb hat. Wear that dumb
hat.
With proud.
Idiotic hat.
The one thing that I like is so when you find an item in Diablo, especially like a unique or a legendary, it can have anywhere from like 4 to 6 stats,
mm-hmm.
but they can all be like
rerolled.
So if you get a dumb hat,
mm-hmm.
it'll have 500 int, 300 vitality, extra gold from monsters, blah, blah, blah. And you could be like, well, I want to give this to my warrior or my barbarian. He doesn't need int, and you can re-roll the stat. It costs a lot of money and a lot of resources, so you can't just do it willy-nilly, and you won't always get what you want. I've spent a lot of time trying to roll a socket into one of my items, and it's just not happened.
Some randomness is
But good. It's cool because it's like, let's say you get a really good unique you want, but one of the stats sucks.
Could be
You
better.
May never see that unique again, but now you can spend, you can put a lot of work in to make it work for you anyway. Mm-hmm.
And one note that I didn't actually notice until I was the one using it was that you can keep the old one if you don't like the replacements, which is nice.
Yeah. And sometimes the new ones they'll give you is it's like, oh, it was 512 int. You re-roll it, and it'll be like, you didn't get the thing you want, but one of the other options is 550 int. So you'll at least take a step up. Or sometimes you will just kind of like tuck your tail between your legs and be like, all right, 512 int.
And it also added the Crusader class, who's really fun. It's primarily a shield using melee warrior.
Sword and board.
Sword mm-hmm. and board. Well, mace and board. Flail and board, if you will.
Doesn't rhyme.
and it's kind of... It's similar to the Paladin from Diablo 2, but not a one-for-one copy. So, yes, you can charge shields. Yes, there are Blessed Hammers. And, yes, there is the Fist of the Heavens ability, which looks sweet. But they're also – they have a lot of utility. They're not purely focused on auras, which is nice because it's not really fun being the aura snitch, as it were.
The aura snitch.
And
So is it weird being like the word snitch?
Yeah.
It means a thing. It actually has a meaning.
Yeah.
It's that thing in Harry Potter.
It's to tattle on someone.
Yeah.
Rhymes with stitch.
Don't be a snitch is what they say on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Snitches get stitches.
You have kind of, you're using it as a perverted version of bitch.
Excuse you.
And I think we've had this discussion before of when you say, like, you may not be comfortable saying, yeah, you're the aura bitch, because it's actually kind of a sexist thing. Mm-hmm. When you're saying you're the aura snitch, it's actually
equally
as offensive. And I think we've discussed before how you are easily the most foul-mouthed, offensive person in the office, but you hide it.
It doesn't translated. Actually use the proper.
Right.
But you're still saying, like
I would never say,
like,
I would never say aura bitch.
And I would never say, in the middle of the office, I would never say, like, oh, fuck that guy. But I've heard Lucas say, like, oh, freak that guy, loudly. And there are times where we all kind of look at each other. This is an intervention, Lucas. Yeah. Where we all look at each other like, should we say something?
I mean, I feel like that was me December, November.
I've said fuck that guy many times.
Yeah, but
you've screamed it at the top of your lungs playing League. It's fine. But the Crusader is
Crusader.
Really fun.
Crusader.
And it's one of the most well-written characters in the game because mm-hmm. the classes up until now were pretty stereotypical and like the haughty wizard who thinks they're awesome.
I astound myself is a thing a wizard then, like, yells all the fucking time.
The demon
that can
like,
be annoying.
I hate demons. and it's just like,
calm down. I mean, the man has a point.
But the Crusader is unique in that they're kind of funny and they see the humor and stuff.
Tell us a joke.
He's just a dark chill humor. Dude. Like, he doesn't... He's not too serious.
Yeah. He or she. Because they're both... They both have awesome voice acting.
Oh, that's right.
Can you think of one of the things that they say? It's fine if not.
God.
I'm just curious.
There's...
Ha, ha, ha.
If you... I guess here's a recommendation. Pair up with a scoundrel, and you'll get a lot of good back and forth between... Like, they just poke fun at him, like, abandoning women and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And there's Act 5, where you face Malthael, the angel of death, essentially. He's a fallen angel who's like, oh, I'm just going to kill humanity.
Kill.
Whatever.
Isn't there already an angel of death?
It's called the Grim Reaper, right?
No, I mean, from the
in
original.
Diablo?
Yeah.
I don't believe so. There's, I mean, Tyrael's the angel of justice.
There's a Lord of Lies.
The Belial.
Lord of Terror.
Diablo.
What was Mephisto?
He's all sound like...
Who's the Lord of Destruction?
No, Bale. Wait, that was Diablo.
Oh.
Wait, no. What the freak?
What the freak?
No, Lord of Destruction was Bale. I'm Bale. Sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I fracked up.
Fracked up.
Freaked up.
I don't think there's many fallen angels, right? There's only the one.
Iswal.
Iswal.
Yeah.
Iswal.
Izuul. That's what I always call him.
Izzy or isn't he? Wall.
Who knows?
But yeah, really good game. We've all, most of the staff has been playing it on our free time for the past week.
I've been playing it nonstop. I do a little bit at work. My
AFP
biggest, I definitely think that it improved the hell out of the game. My biggest issue is the aesthetics. Mm. And it seems weird to me that they had an excuse because he's a fallen angel sort of, but he's still kind of an angel. And the enemies you're fighting are...
They just look like Grim Reapers.
They well, not even. They all just look like Diablo 3 enemies, except they're instead of being red, they're like purple and black. Like games like Devil May Cry 4 and Bayonetta did such a good job of being like, you know what's interesting? Fighting angelic enemies instead of demonic, because you haven't done that a lot. Mm-hmm. And in this game, it's like you're fighting, like, he is commanding angelic forces, but they are giant cloaked figures. Like, none of them look especially interesting.
Well, another thing is they're pretty clear in this expansion that there will be more Diablo 3 expansions if all goes according to plan. And it's theorized that the next expansion will be about fighting against the Angiris Council in the high heavens. So maybe we will get to see those truly angelic
enemies. Really do. What's the name of the main angel?
The hater angel.
There's this angel. We're all throughout
he's
Diablo
always on
3.
Your
every time he speaks, he's just like, I could help, but I'm not gonna. And your character's like, dude, you're a dick. Like, no matter who you're playing, they just say, dude, you're a dick.
I forget his name. But yeah.
He has a huge halo.
They think maybe, like, so that you faced all the demons, but the angels could be just as corrupt.
That'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But who knows when that will come. Right now, I'm enjoying Reaper of Souls very much.
Very good game.
Harvester of Sorrows.
Good guess. If that comes true, Tom, you could
a Metallica song.
Diablo 3, Master of Puppets.
I don't know any sense there.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, community segment. Welcome back, Radio Radar, episode 82, jumping into the third segment. Before we begin, I do want to acknowledge Greg Henniger is now left Games Radar. He's no longer with the company. We wish him the best of luck. He's a
All
good friend. And moving on, let's jump into the corrections, clarifications, and what is the third one?
Corrections, clarifications, complaints, retractions, acknowledgments, and apologies. I was having a hard time remembering it earlier today. But I feel like we got to get like a really nice acronym.
CCR.
CCR. Cleedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah.
So CCR.
There are two specific screw-ups. Sunny D has referenced, I think it was last week, we spent a long time talking about how Oculus Rift was going to stay independent. So,
whoopsie.
Correction on all of us for that. We were just, it was a prediction, but we were wrong. And
I don't remember making that prediction.
I feel like it was me.
Okay.
I feel like I said that I don't think they would sell even to Microsoft or somebody for a few billion bucks. I was wrong.
A couple billion.
Yeah.
that wasn't on the table.
That's correct.
Also, another correction from the Tingler. A royal collection correction. A jubilee isn't the celebration of the queen's birthday. It would be the anniversary of her coronation, the day she became queen. And even then, it's only really every 25 years. I don't remember what context that is in. I have a feeling it was a Henry thing because Henry likes talking about British people despite not understanding
he
them.
He loves the queen.
He's a big fan of the queen.
Is the queen still alive? I heard she was dead.
No, that did not happen.
Still going.
Corrections.
You screwed up.
Question of the week. Last week, who have you told about games? Who have you told about Radio Radar? Mm. And I saw a lot of people tweeting at random celebrities.
Oh, good.
Telling them.
That.
Yeah. Keep that up. I'm fine with that.
Based God.
Yes. Angels and Demons 1 said, I just emailed the link and my recommendation to my friend John from my old workplace. He's a closet gamer. He plays once his wife and kids have gone to bed.
There we go.
Yeah.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Sonosaur said, oh, shit. I just realized that I'm often telling people about the Radio Radar podcast on your live streams when people ask about the site. I don't know if that's gone anywhere, but hopefully between my silly drawings and never-ending willingness to pimp your guys to strangers, you've gotten at least one new listener.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Giggity.
Hopefully. Great job, Sinosaur.
If you came here because of Sinosaur, write an email to
RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com.
There we go.
Nice.
And boom, we'll read it on the air. Probably not. We'll email it to Sinosaur.
Yeah.
And he'll make a drawing out of it.
South Dakota gamer, I listen to many podcasts, but Radio Radar has risen to the top of my list. Many people have heard the words Radio Radar is awesome come out of your mouth. I will be giving Radio Radar shout out on the video game podcast I recently started. I have over 30 subscribers.
Nice.
Congratulations, yeah. South Dakota gamer. And the celebrity whom I believe would enjoy Radio Radar is Mila Kunis. She's a big gamer from what I hear. And when she isn't busy making movies or hanging out with Ashton, she'd love to hear you guys talk about video games. Unfortunately, I call her Mila. Doesn't have a Twitter account. However, Ashton Kutcher does, so I tweeted him about Radio Radar. Love the show. I saw that. Good on you.
She's also Preggers now.
That's
right. Yeah. She's got a bun.
I was watching E! Entertainment.
Bun in the
oven. With who's?
Huh?
With who's Ashton? Ashton.
Probably Ashton
Kutcher. Yeah.
Oh.
What happened to the Demi Moore? Wait, so they basically
Dude,
made...
Where have you been for the last 10 years?
That 70s show.
Basically. Yeah, that 70s
pretty
show
much.
Was real. Michael Kelso and what was her name?
Mila Kunis.
Jackie?
There we go.
Jackie Onassis.
Jackie?
Also.
Cody Stovall said, I would tell my friends, but I don't have any. The winner this week, Iron Arm. I paste you guys all over my social media accounts. I mainly use Twitter, so my hopes are that I got at least one person to retweet something I said about Radio Radar, and maybe that person who retweeted me has more followers. Then the followers that person retweets as well to even more people, and it's an endless cycle that will get you guys infinity listeners.
That's how a virus spreads.
Yeah. So in a perfect world, I will get you guys infinity listeners. Yay me. Thank you, Iron Arm. Be sure to send an email to RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com, and we'll
send you some useless shit we got lying around
some
there.
Yu Yu Hakusho DVD.
We got some stuff. So, question of the week this week. Mm-hmm. We were talking about Leland Yee. Secretly... being the man he hates. What video game character do you think has a dark secret they cover up with their actions?
I'm going to roll with
Master Chief secretly supplying the intel about humans' armies to the Covenant, Gaius Baltar style.
Gaius Baltar?
Because he fights so hard against them, he's got to be covering up for something.
And Cortana is his version of number six.
Oh, shit. You just blew my mind, Lucas Sullivan.
Tom, you better have one because I don't.
I'm thinking. Give me a second.
Really?
All right, so I'm going to go with...
Schneider.
I don't have an answer yet. Somebody else go.
Is that too complicated? Do we have to do a different question of the week?
No, it's a good question. I feel like it requires
a little bit of thought.
That's
fine. I gave my answer.
It's good enough.
We're good enough, unless anybody has one in the next 5, 4,
oh, no.
3,
oh, no.
Too much pressure.
Oh, wait. I can use this time. Oh, there you go. Duke Nukem. He's actually conservative. He believes in monogamy.
Monogamy?
He
hates
he
the bubblegum industry.
He's very offended by...
he can't stand the bubblegum industry.
Makes him ill.
He's makes allergic. Him ill.
He's allergic to that sap or whatever.
Yeah, agantham or xanthan or something. Yeah,
xanthan gum.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, so leave an answer in the comment section or email it to radioradar@gamesradar.com or send us a tweetzor @grradioradar. Message us on Facebook. Do all that stuff, and we will talk to you next week. I'm recording, by the way. All right, mic check, test, blah, blah, blah. I can't hear myself, but that thing's picking me up. Tom.
I am in this room, ready to talk about episode 82. 82!
Keep
the 82! Top 7 most interesting things... Really? Thing we learned about? Did you typo that?
Not in the article, but here, yeah. All right, Lucas.
I couldn't hear Tom in the mic as clearly as I hear myself, which gives me pause, but I'm going to keep
it's
talking.
It's all going the same on there. It doesn't make any sense to me. I can't hear myself or Tom. You sound great, but your levels are only there.
Should we just do
hello? Headphones? I can't hear myself, but I'm talking anyway.
I feel really uncomfortable not wearing headphones.
Which is weird, because I can hear you perfectly fine.
That's weird. I can't hear anybody.
Most of the day.
I am...
It's like I need to be talking into a microphone.
Hey, what about now? La 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 la. Here, talk. Can you hear yourself? Talk.
Hello. Yeah, now I can hear myself.
So. Okay.
I just can't hear you. That's weird.
All right, real. Anthony.
Hello.
You're blue.
Hello. Oh, yeah.
This isn't helping me do a mic check, Anthony.
This is my normal voice. Hi, guys. What's going on?
Bring it up a little bit.
Hey, what's up? Hello, and welcome to Movie Phone.
The louder you speak, the more excited you sound. And we
just start reading the top 7 lines.
And we can always turn your mic down.
Yeah.
Top 7 most interesting thing we learned at GDC 2014.
All right. That sounds good to me.
All right.